tablet with God's word on it, we're going to turn to John chapter 15. There are also Bibles at the back of church, and please don't be embarrassed to grab one if you would like one. John chapter 15, verses 9 to 17. Where we read, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. For greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other." And so, Lord, we thank you for the reading of your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, that this word is a light unto our feet. We thank you for the opportunity to study this word, and for me personally to speak from it. Help us to understand your word more deeply today. Help us to apply it in our lives, that you are glorified, not only in our personal lives, but in this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, for those who weren't here last week and didn't hear my sermon, there were five aims and priorities that I have set for ministry at CBC in this next academic year. They're listed here on the screen for you. And they are to lead the church towards greater freedom in the Spirit, develop the hub to bring about community transformation, support and lead ecumenical partnership in the city, build deeper relationship in the body of Christ at CBC, and establish greater commitment to communal prayer. I preached on our plans last week to develop the community hub, which seeks to bring about this community transformation in Canterbury. And I really appreciated those of you who got in touch with me, those who were energized by that sermon, are enthusiastic about being part of what God has in store for the community hub here in Canterbury. And today, I want to explain more greatly my desire to build deeper relationship at Canterbury Baptist Church, the fourth bullet point or aim and priority that's listed here behind me. You see, we are created for worship. Rick Warren, the American pastor and author, speaks about the fact that God created every single one of us. Psalm 139 speaks about that, doesn't it, in some detail. That we're not a mistake or an error. We're not put together carelessly, but that there is a God, a Father in heaven, who has knitted us together carefully and wonderfully in our mother's wombs. And as we were created by God, we are designed to worship. We are designed to be in relationship with the one who created us. And within the Alpha Course, some of you will know who attended the Alpha Course, and Rick Warren in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, speaks about the fact that because God created us and we have this inbuilt desire to worship the one who created us, if we don't worship God our Father, then we will replace that desire to worship the Father with something else. Another idol, perhaps. There's this God-shaped hole inside of us that we will fill with other things if it's not filled with God. But the only thing that will satisfy this hole inside of us is a relationship with the one who created us. But we are also created to have relationship with one another. We read in Genesis chapter 2, 18, when God formed man, and he said, "It is not good for the man to be alone." And so God creates Eve, someone with whom Adam can be in relationship with. And so we're not only created to be in relationship with the one who created us, our Heavenly Father, God Almighty, but we are also created to be in relationship with one another. And we are created for relationship that is defined by love, both in our relationship with God and in our relationship with others. Jesus himself said that we are to love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, said Jesus. And then also, love your neighbor as yourself. And the New Testament church is repeatedly instructed to have relationship that is defined by love for one another. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says, "Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves." Galatians 5, verse 13, "Serve one another humbly in love." Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." 1 Peter 1, verse 22, "Love one another deeply from the heart." And my personal favorite, 1 Peter 5, verse 14, "Greet one another with a kiss of love." We will be exercising that later on as a response to... No, we won't. To be honest, being somebody who wears glasses, the whole kissing on the cheek thing, particularly with someone else who wears glasses, is always... a slightly awkward moment. If you get away without your glasses being tangled, you've done well. Greet one another with a kiss of love. And even within our Bible reading today, Jesus commands that his disciples relate to God and to one another in love. In verse 12 of John 15, we read these words, "Love each other as I have loved you." Love each other as I have loved you. These words have always struck me every time I read them. They're the type of words in God's word that remind you that being a Christian is not easy. Love each other as I have loved you. What is the shape of this love that Jesus speaks about? Well, it is the shape of the cross. Jesus is inviting us to love as he himself has loved us. And this love is not the shape of a heart, it's the shape of a cross. For such is the love of God for his creation. Such is the love of God for you and for me, even those who don't know him yet, don't recognize him as Father. And God. Such is his love for us that he died on the cross. He gave his one and only Son that those who believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. It is a love that faced mocking and jeering, beating and flogging, betrayal by even his own friends, and crucifixion. The consequences of our sin by death. Out of love for you and for me, even those who don't recognize him. It's a selfless and a sacrificial love, which seeks to serve and not be served. And what does Jesus say to his disciples? Love each other as I have loved you. As I have loved you. Love each other in such a way that love exampled on the cross is seen in our own actions and words towards one another. It's deeply challenging. And so how do we love like Jesus? Well, I've already said that we are to love like Jesus with a sacrificial and a selfless love. Paul writes in Philippians 2, verses 3 to 8, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another," Paul writes, "have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who stepped down from the glory of heaven, who humbled himself so to become a man and to die on a cross. Have the same attitude as Jesus Christ." How on earth do we become humble so to love others? How do we value others above ourselves? Not looking to our own interests, but the interests of others. How do we do it in our lives as disciples outside of this church? How do we do it in a church context? How do we humble ourselves? How do we see the needs of others above our own? It's tricky. Because let's be honest, most of us come to church so that our needs can be met. Rather than with a desire to meet the needs of others. And so let me offer this one suggestion from early ministry for me here at CBC. Help us to share the responsibility of care. One of the criticisms that I often face as minister of the church is, "I've been away for a long time, Andrew, and no one has contacted me. No one has sent me a message. No one's been to knock on my door." And I will do my ministerial thing of checking up on them and asking how they are. But you know, what I find is this deep desire within these people for community. Not just for me to care as the minister of the church, but for the church to care. For the body of Christ to show love and compassion for other members within the body of Christ. And so help us as a church to share the responsibility of caring for the body of Christ, for one another. If you know someone is missing from the church, if you know somebody has not attended for a while, don't come to me and say, "Oh, Andrew, how's such and such doing? I haven't seen them for about 19 weeks. Why don't you pick up the phone and give them a call? Why don't you send them a text message or send them a message on Facebook or whatever other means? I'm now going to show my limitations. But if you notice somebody has been missing, if you notice somebody is hurting, if you notice even within our midst that somebody is struggling, don't just come and tell me about it, although of course I care and I want to know. But why not make the step yourself to show that you care? And that we as a body of believers care about those individuals. Because there is a desire within our church and those who attend our church, there is a desire to be in a community of loving and compassionate brothers and sisters of Christ. And I want to say that if you are somebody who is sat here today feeling unloved, uncared for, not pastored, then could you tell us? Could you help us to share our love for you by telling us that you would like to know something more of our love for you and our concern and our care for you? Because it's very difficult to meet your need unless we know that you have one. So come and tell us. And I want to encourage you to make the most of the things that we have within the church here to know and feel this love of Christ that we are seeking to share for one another. Be part of a small group, and it is the best way of getting to know other people. It is the best way of supporting one another. Be part of a small group, and you can come and ask me about that, or ask Jason, who's not here today, but Jason, our elder, who's responsible for small groups, speak to him, and we can connect you into a small group so that weekly, fortnightly, or however long the groups meet, we're able to ask you within the context of small groups, how are you? How can we pray for you? Why don't you come and make the most of our prayer ministry team? We have a team of people who are available after our Sunday services who have the desire and the will to pray with you and to stand with you as you carry the stresses and strains of life. So don't turn that down, that opportunity down, but come. Come and tell us what need you have, what need you would like met by the love of God through the community at CBC. And we would love to pray with you. There's a pastoral team here. Again, if you tell us, the pastoral team can be used to support you and to help you. There's men's and women's ministry. You've heard about that already. But please, come and tell us. Don't just slowly lose faith in the church and slip away. But come and tell us and give us the opportunity to express God's love towards you. Because I can only speak for myself, but the desire in me is to love you and is to care for you and to be there for you and to intercede on your behalf. The desire and the will is there. And so come and tell us. And it might not always be me, I'm sorry to tell you. I'm just a human being, and there's only a certain number of hours in my day, but the desire is there within me to make it possible for the church to support you and to love you, and we need to share this responsibility so that there isn't just one person or two people or a collection of people who care, but that we are a loving and a compassionate and a caring community of believers. Charlie Mackesy, who is one of the many vicars at Holy Trinity Brompton, he's also an artist, said the following words: "The only vision we need is to love each other. Everything else is detail," he says. The only vision we need is to love each other. Everything else is detail. And I want to encourage us today to love one another. To love one another more deeply than we did last week and the year before. And the motivation for our loving one another, yes, is the commands of Jesus, who commanded love one another, but also the demonstration of this love by Jesus, his example, who didn't just pay lip service to the disciples, but exampled his love for them and for us on the cross. We read in 1 John 4, we love because he first loved us. And so in response to his great love, his sacrificial and selfless love, let's all love him and love one another so that he is glorified in this place and we grow together in love for him and in love for one another. Lord God, we recognize the challenge of this love which you, Lord Jesus, speak about in your word. Love each other as I have loved you. We recognize our weakness in response to this command. For your love is beyond compare, is beyond comparison. But within this place today, we hear this instruction, we hear this command, we see your love exampled on the cross. And we respond by saying, yes, Lord, we will do what we can to love you and to love each other in such a way that it imitates your love. Lord, equip us for this task. Thank you, Father God, that you do not leave us to work these things out on our own, but we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit to apply these things in our lives. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come. That you would come and give us the ability to love you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but also love one another as we should. Lord, build this community up in love, we pray. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.